Many people, when they find a spider near them, will react with fear or disgust. In most cases, this reaction is unnecessary. I hope that by taking some time to examine these neighbors of ours, that I can help others understand and appreciate the complex wonders of spiders. Spiders can be found almost everywhere in the world. It is said that, except for some of our most frigid environments, you are within 6 feet of a spider anywhere you go. All spiders are carnivorous and can eat between 10 and 25% of their body weight every day. I weigh about 190 pounds. That would be like me eating between 76 and 190 quarter-pound hamburgers every day. Spiders, although at first glance may seem to resemble insects, are actually quite different from insects. Insects have three main body parts, two large eyes, although sometimes with extra smaller ones, and six legs. As shown in this cicada killer wasp, and both this robber fly, which is on top, and the green darner dragonfly, which is below. The robber fly has attacked and is eating the dragonfly. In contrast, spiders have two main body parts, 6 to 8 eyes, 8 legs for walking, and 2 shorter legs or pedipalps for handling food. The most familiar spiders belong to 2 groups. One way to tell the first group is fangs or chelicera, which move parallel to each other, as in the tarantulas. The fangs in the second group move opposing each other, like pincers, as shown in this golden silk spider. Most spiders spin webs. The spider's web is manufactured inside the spider and is extruded from the spinnerets. Different species of spiders may have different numbers or types of spinnerets. This is the orchard spider, and its orb web is normally horizontal, and there's also a very small hole in the center where the spider waits for prey. The golden silk spider's web is large but bare. The male spider is 5 times smaller than the female. The female spider can measure up to 4 inches from leg tip to leg tip. Like all orb weavers, the golden silk spider is almost blind. It gets most of its information by feedback from the strands on its web and by the bristles on its legs. All spiders have bristles of different types on their legs and bodies. Some can sense air currents, and some can give information on the chemical composition or the taste of objects. These are the bristles on the leg of a golden silk spider. Compare those to the giant coarse bristles on the legs of this green lynx spider. Other hairs, such as some of those on tarantulas, are used in self-defense. Hairs of this type are covered with tiny barbs and can cause irritation as they work into eye tissue or flesh. The threatened tarantula uses its back legs to brush these hairs off its abdomen towards its attacker. Returning to spider webs, we see that the golden silk spider will wait in the center of a completed web. The smaller male spiders sometimes share the web, as well as other completely different smaller species which will sneak in and eat prey that the larger spider has caught. This spider took just a few seconds to transform this deer fly, which had just bitten me, into a wad of unrecognizable parts. The golden silk spider's web is very strong, easily strong enough to catch a large green darner dragonfly like this one, or even a cicada like this one. Notice that the prey is wrapped very loosely. The black and yellow argiope, or golden orb weaver, spins an orb web, then decorates it with a thick zigzag pattern near the center. This zigzag pattern and similar silk decorations are called stabilimenta. The purpose of this is still not known for sure. Some experiments have shown that the argiope stabilimenta may help hide its shape from predators as it waits in the center of its web. This spider, the red femured spotted orb weaver, has a round structure in the middle of its web which seems to disguise the spider. The crab-like spiny orb weaver will decorate its web with small clumps of silk. Then we have this master of camouflage. This spider is Cyclosa conica, sometimes known as the trash web orb weaver. The Cyclosa web, at first glance, seems empty except for a bead-like string of egg cases attached to a line of rolled silk entangled with insect parts. But what about that last bead, the one at the center of the web? Let's look closer. As I move in, watch what happens when I touch that last bead. It sprouts legs. The center bead is actually the spider, and it blends in perfectly with the other beads. If the spider is disturbed a bit more, it runs to the edge of the web. When it is out in the open, we can see how oddly shaped it is. If the spider is bothered even more, it attaches a safety line and jumps off the web. It dangles about 2 feet below, looking like a piece of junk caught by mistake. If it's left alone, the Cyclosa will eventually climb back up the safety line to the web. All spiders, although they are carnivores, can only ingest liquids. This means that the prey, no matter what it is, must be turned to liquid before the spider can use it. Some spiders, like this golden silk spider, will use special grinding plates that crush the hard parts of their prey while secreting enzymes onto it. Then it sucks in the digested sludge. This orchard spider also makes the prey into a bundle of hard parts, such as exoskeleton or bones, which is eventually discarded. Other species of spider don't use this grinding method and can just suck the fluids through small openings in the exoskeleton, like this common house spider, which has captured a much larger southern house spider, and this large bug. This giant lichen orb weaver feeds the same way. Look at the front segment of a spider, called the cephalothorax, or prosoma. On the top shell, or carapace, you will see an indentation near the center. Inside the spider, this dimple serves as one of the attachment points for a set of very strong muscles. The other end of these muscles are attached to the spider's stomach. When these muscles contract, they pull on the stomach and cause it to expand. This causes a very strong suction to form. This suction pulls the liquefied food through a series of strainers and into the spider. Spider blood, called hemolymph, is a bluish color because copper is used to carry the oxygen. Hemolymph is pumped out from the spider's heart, which is a tube-like organ located near the upper surface of the abdomen, and then out through arteries. Eventually, these arteries just stop at the ends like microscopic hoses. After this point, the hemolymph freely bathes the body cells. Then the oxygen-depleted hemolymph follows the path of least concentration back towards the body center. First, there are structures called book lungs. These are actually parts of the exoskeleton that have developed very fine folds or wafers with spaces between them. The hemolymph flows through the spaces and oxygen diffuses into it through the walls of the book lungs. The hemolymph then collects into the large lung vein and is carried back to the heart. Tarantulas have two pairs of book lungs. Other spiders, usually considered more modern, have only one pair of book lungs. In these modern spiders, the second pair of book lungs has been replaced by a system of air tubes called tubular trachea. Air enters these tubes through one or more openings called spiracles that are usually located on the underside of the abdomen near the spinnerets. In some species, the tubular trachea don't branch very much at all and are limited to the interior of the abdomen. All spiders have claws at the tip of each leg. Those that don't use webs, preferring to run down or jump on their prey, usually have two claws, as in this dark-ringed fishing spider. The spiders who use webs for trapping prey generally have three claws. Orb weavers use their third claw to hold on to their web while they walk on it and manipulate it, as shown by this golden silk spider. The third claw swivels up and down. On either side of it are two stiff bristles. The web passes between this folding claw and the stiff bristles, and pressure from the claw pinches the web between the claw and the bristles. The other two claws are used for grasping prey or other objects. Jumping spiders can stalk and attack their food from almost any surface and from almost any orientation. These spiders have quite a different foot arrangement than the orb weavers do. In these scanning electron microscope images from the Institute of Physics, we get a close look at a jumping spider's foot showing a tuft of hairs directly behind the claws. This is magnified 200 times. Each of these hairs is composed of smaller hairs called setae. This is magnified 270 times. And each of these setae is split into even smaller hairs called setules. This, at 3,000 times magnification, shows the bottom of a group of setae. Finally, at 8,750 times magnification, we can see how each of the set tools ends in a broad flat area. These contact points are so small that they interact with the surface like a single molecule would, and it sticks to it by molecular attraction. These are individual set tools at 20,000 times magnification. The size and arrangement of the eyes varies between spider species. In fact, the appearance of the eyes can be helpful for identifying a spider or the way it gathers prey. Orb weavers generally have small eyes, since they use their webs to locate and catch prey. Small eyes are visible in this trash web orb weaver, in this red femured spotted orb weaver, and in this triangle orb weaver. This green lynx spider jumps on its prey, enfolding it with its legs. The eyes are concentrated in a small cluster at the front of its head. The huge bristles on its body may also aid in locating prey. The group called fishing spiders have two rows of four eyes, with a slight curve to the upper row. Only one species in this family is known to actually catch fish. That's this one, the six-spotted fishing spider. This, the white-banded fishing spider, and this, the dark-ringed fishing spider, aren't generally found near water. Wolf spiders have a lower row of four small eyes, then two pairs of larger eyes, one pair above the other. This hogna is an example, as is this one, with the charming name of rabid wolf spider. The wolf spiders tend to ambush their prey from temporary hiding places. The jumping spiders have the best eyesight of all spiders. These spiders roam freely, watching for prey. Their huge pair of forward eyes allows them to target prey with precision. The remaining smaller eyes are set with a pair near the large eyes and other sets further back on the cephalothorax. Although they aren't our largest spiders, many people are intimidated by jumping spiders such as this one, the daring jumping spider. This is probably because they often respond to humans not by running away, but by turning and facing us. This is because they respond to our movement, which they can see. Once it locates prey, a jumping spider will stalk the prey until it gets within jumping distance. Then it usually anchors a single strand of web. Then it launches itself at the prey, pushing off with just the fourth or rear pair of legs. The tether strand allows the spider to regain its perch and prevents it from falling too far. We've seen that spiders have specialized with amazing ways of capturing prey. But then we have this spider. It is called the spitting spider. It has only six eyes, arranged in three pairs. This is important because the toxic brown recluse spider also has this eye arrangement, but without the distinctively mottled abdomen. This spider doesn't jump on its prey, and it doesn't spin webs as other spiders do either. The spitting spider has a highly modified set of paired double glands. It is the size and arrangement of these glands that give the spitting spider's cephalothorax its characteristic humped shape. Contractions of special muscles causes a sticky stream of silk to squirt out of the front of the spider, as shown in this high-speed video by R.B. Suter of Vassar University. The sticky fluid is expelled from special openings in the base of the spider's short fangs, as shown in these scanning electron microscope photos taken by Dr. Suter. The spider also diverts the direction of this stream and lays down a zigzag pattern of glue on and around its prey. This immobilizes the prey so the spider can move in and bite it. Although most literature claims that there is poison in the glue, studies by Dr. Suter, who captured these high-speed clips and gave permission for their use here, may refute that information. This high-speed video, also by Dr. Suter, shows the expelled substance being sprayed onto two wires. The spider is in the background. The strands contract and draw the wires together. Let's look at the spider attack again, slowed down. The spider swings down, attached from the front, then moves in and gives the final bite to the trapped prey. I shot this in my house. Here are just a few spiders that are relatively common near Houston, Texas. They are all non-venomous to humans. The golden silk spider. The black and yellow argiope. The crab-like spiny orb weaver. The giant lichen orb weaver. The orchard spider. The red femured spotted orb weaver. The triangle orb weaver. The trash web orb weaver. The southern house spider. The common house spider. The green lynx spider. The daring jumping spider. The house jumping spider. The rabid wolf spider. This wolf spider of the Hogna species, eating a mealworm. The white-banded fishing spider. The six-spotted fishing spider. The dark-banded fishing spider. The spitting spider. The next time you see a spider, perhaps you'll remember some of what I've mentioned here. And instead of screaming or crushing the spider, you realize how complex and amazing it is, and let it remain unmolested, or even put it outside to let it hunt.